This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
Russell Westbrook is off to Houston.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
No! James Harden just caught a body here in Los Angeles.
And Westbrook is off the freeway.
What's up, guys? We're going to do this podcast. My name is Saul Monnelly, at Saul Monnelly NBA on Twitter. Here joined by Forrest Walker, at Do Not on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Hey, yo. Pretty good.
How have you been?
It's been a little while, but it's been good. I got some irons in the fire. I've also been watching Rockets games.
That's good, because that's kind of important for this podcast. Let's get into it. This podcast is going to be a little unusual. I don't have my usual notes. Usually I have a page of notes in front of me with a bunch of stats and whatever. And I don't have my usual rundown. Like, normally I have a list of topics that we talk about in this podcast. But for this podcast, we are going to tackle one question. And we're going to tackle it from as many angles as we possibly can. It's a question I've been asking many people around the Toyota Center every time I see them, just to get their opinion. It's a question I teased on the past couple of podcasts, but it's pretty simple. Are the Houston Rockets a title contender? I guess I'll tee it off to you, because I feel like you have a lot of strong thoughts on this.
Well, Webster's Dictionary defines title contender. This is a hard question, which is, of course, why we're going to do a full episode about it. I mean, I guess the short answer is a no, but, and the long answer is a yes, if. And then we'll spend the next podcast worth of time getting into that. Before we get into that, though, let me list out something amusing to you. So, if we go to 538 and see what they think about it, they say yes. They think that the Rockets have the second highest chance in the West to make the finals.
I saw this, actually. Yeah.
With a 26% chance to make the finals, behind the Clippers 38 and ahead of the Lakers 22. So they think very highly of the Rockets. They think the Rockets are the third best team in the league. By some metrics, the best team in the league. So that's pretty wild to me that they're rated that highly based on 538 stuff.
Yeah, 538 has some cool stuff out this year, by the way. They have this new metric that rates players, and I went ahead and looked just because I was curious on that metric. Chris Paul is an all-star by their metrics, and Russell Westbrook is a quote-unquote borderline all-star by their metrics. It does seem like their motto is particularly high on the Rockets. This question is so tough. It is so tough, but If you were to just ask me today, December 18th, I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say they're not a title contender. I've been struggling with this question for a while. The last podcast I did with you, I think I declared them a tier one title contender, and ever since then, this past month has just been a wild roller coaster. The Rockets are 7-3 in their last 10 games, but it's the manner in which they're winning these games. These are bad teams. Like, this is a schedule that the Rockets are supposed to skate through. This is a schedule that I posted at the beginning of the month. It's saying this is something where the Rockets can gather up wins on. And yes, well, they have gathered up wins, but they've skated by like teams like the Spurs, the Pistons, the Magic, the Cavs, the Kings, the Suns. I mean, the only team there that I listed that they blew out was the Magic, and every other team, it's been a close contest, and some of them have been losses. Like, that's not characteristic of a title contender, right? Like, a title contender, as we traditionally know them, blows these teams out of the water, and they've been neck and neck with them until the final periods.
Well, the good news for the Rockets in that case is that that's also pretty much exactly the profile of the Los Angeles Lakers. They just happen to win more of the close games they're in, which is basically every game they're in. But which is why I'm having trouble with the Lakers as well. The Rockets and the Lakers, to me, are the real, like, hard-to-call teams just because of their win-loss profile is so confusing. They both are, like, right in the middle of every game. Rockets, much more disappointingly so. I think I'm with you, though, that, like, if the Rockets were narrowly beating every team and being at 24-4 instead of being at 18-9, I think you'd have a much better case that they're a title contender, even with the same point differential. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, they have an 8.7 net rating that the Lakers do. That's a bona fide title contender. Like, yeah, I've seen some of the games that you're referring to, and yeah, they've been a little disappointing in them, but, like, they've blown out a lot of teams, too.
Well, they just don't lose, also, is the big deal. They have a few blowouts, but they just aren't losing, and that doesn't doesn't really pull their numbers down very much.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, they're also the third-best defense in the NBA. Like, that's much more easy to digest and buy into, and the Rockets are 16th. And that's really the big issue here, right? Like, they would be blowing by these teams if they were, like, top 10 in defense, but they're not. They're middle of the pack, and that is not characteristic of a traditional title contender. I know the Cavs won a title that way, but if you go through NBA history, like, you need to be top 10. You just do. You need to have a top 10 defense to win an NBA championship. It's very hard to win when you're just elite offensively.
Well, here's where we get into the yes if, I think, because right now I've been talking about the no part of the answer, which I think currently, as it stands, they're very good, but they're not a title contender. But they've shown signs that their defense can get there at times, right? There'll be periods where the team will, like, just utterly clamp down on somebody for a little while. They just don't seem to have the ability to do this for long stretches of time.
Right, like the second half of the Spurs game last night, like, they really clamped down on the Spurs. And it was disappointing in that they showed none of this in that first half, and they allowed 73 points. Like, that's like, if they could sustain that same sort of second half effort for a full game, like, that's kind of what we're talking about in terms of elite defenses. And yet that consistency is lacking. Like, to me, like, you see some of this with, like, do you remember the 2016-17 Rockets, where it was Mike D'Antoni's first year and it was a really fun team, and, like, they were just coming off the year where they won 41 games, and it was really disappointing? Like, do you remember that season?
Yeah, that was a real comparatively feel-good season. It was a real pick-me-up after the previous horrible year, precisely.
Right, yeah. And the reason we weren't talking about these dreadful topics that season is because it was comparatively much, much better from the prior season. The problem is the Rockets have shown us that they can hit higher levels. We've seen that in prior seasons, more specifically two seasons ago where they won 65 games and were blowing teams out of the water, right? That's a title contender to me. Like, that is a bona fide tier one title contender that can beat any team on any given night. And this kind of team profiles more similar to that kind of team where Mike D'Antoni's first season, where yes, they can win a title, but they have to have a lot go in their favor. And people listening to this podcast may be like, oh, well, Solomon, that's for every title contender. Every title contender needs things to go in their way. What I would answer to that is yes, but no.
Yeah, it's different amounts of them for different teams.
Right, yeah. Like, yes, you need things to go your way to win an NBA championship, but not as many as the Rockets are going to need this season. Like, the Rockets are going to need the right matchup. They're going to need to be fully healthy. They're going to need to hit all their shots. Some of their role players are going to need to outperform what they're used to doing. There needs to be a level of commitment on defense that will at least keep them in games. Like they don't have to be blowing teams out in the playoffs, but if they're going to be competing with the best of the best, they need to at least tread water, and they also need injury luck. They need other teams to get hurt on the back end of their roster at the very minimum. They're going to need they're going to need the right pickup at the right time, like somebody that enters the buyout market that perfectly fits the Rockets and can help shore up some of their holes defensively, but not all the way. that'll you know kind of keep them above water. That's kind of the luck I'm talking about. They're gonna need all that stuff to happen for them to win a title. Like, it's kind of like the Raptors last year, to be honest. Like, the Raptors last year, like, they weren't blowing teams out of the water, but they definitely had a lot of things go their way. Like, more specifically, a bounce in the Eastern Conference Finals that was just it could have gone either way. That series could have literally been really, really disappointing for the Toronto Raptors, and that would have been it for their season. The Raptors could have entered the Raptors could enter the finals with a healthy Klay Thompson. Not even a healthy Kevin Durant, a healthy Klay Thompson, and it could have been a much more contentious series, and it didn't, and they won. Like, that's the kind of luck they need to go their way. And while I'm saying that, I realize there's not a team like the Warriors, but there are tier one title contenders out there. Like, you look at the Bucks and you look at the Lakers specifically, those are two teams that I think, like, I don't have confidence in the Rockets seriously competing in a seven-game series with that kind of a powerhouse. Do you?
No, those are two very scary teams. And, you know, I would like to see how they match up with the Rockets in season, at least so we can kind of see if they have, vaguely a positive or negative matchup with them. We already saw with the Bucks earlier, and it was a closer game than I thought it would be. But, yeah, those teams are just – they're so damn good. Like, and we can't leave the Clippers out of that either. You know, the Clippers still look like they're lying in wait for the postseason. So there are at least three truly excellent teams. I don't know if I can count the Sixers out, like we just said a moment ago.
No.
The Sixers easily could have won that series by a ball bouncing differently. And it feels like we've all kind of forgotten that with how, like, the excitement and exuberance of the Raptors finals run that, like, they very nearly didn't make the finals. They right. very nearly lost to the Sixers, extremely nearly. And the Celtics out there just will not go away either. You know, there are real teams out there in both conferences, and this is nothing of the Nuggets. So I know we don't respect the Nuggets very much in Rockets world because we've seen the Rockets own them for so long. But the Nuggets certainly owned the Rockets the other day. You know, when they match up last time, there are a lot of teams to be afraid of right now. There's not the one big terrifying team like there used to be, but there are a lot of pretty scary teams. So you're right. A lot of things do have to go right for the Rockets to not just be at that level, but to beat that level. And it's only going to get harder from here because these guys are only getting older.
Yeah, and the one thing that really makes me worried answering this question so definitively no is Eric Gordon's not on the roster yet, right? Like, that's the biggest caveat, right? That's the caveat of all caveats. We have not seen this roster as healthy as it can be, missing one of its six most important rotation players, right? Like, arguably three or four most important rotation players. Like it's hard for us to judge without that complete picture. And, you know, I don't know how much Eric Gordon can help their defense, but I know he can't hurt their defense, right? Like, I know that. I know... in past seasons, he's shown he can be very capable defensively. Maybe another capable body is all they need defensively to become like 11th in defense. And maybe becoming 11th in defense is enough to, you know, drive them to like fourth in net rating, which will be enough to get like a top three seed in the Western Conference, right? Like that's the caveat of all caveats. We have no idea how this team is going to look when Eric Gordon comes back. And I'm looking at all the title contenders right now. Like, aside from maybe the Clippers getting Landry Shamet back, the Rockets are the only team that has a significant piece coming back from injury. And I guess you could say that's a feather in their cap in terms of contendership, like that conversation, right? Like, because I'm sure there are people on the other side of this conversation. I'm sure there are people who do believe the Rockets are a title contender, 538 being one of them, right? And Eric Gordon is a big argument in their favor, right? Like that's the argument of all arguments. We don't know how they're going to look with Eric Gordon back, and at the same time, like, even if Eric Gordon comes back, I personally still see holes on the roster. I still think they're not big enough. I still think they have issues in the front court. And I still think they need an extra wing, frankly, defensively, to hold water against some of the best teams in the Western Conference. Like, Daniel House, since he's returned, And I know it's only been like four games, and he's not all the way healthy because he's coming back from an illness. He hasn't been very good defensively. And that's, you know, when I wrote that big article about him like a couple weeks ago, like I talked about how that was the biggest question mark about House, right? Like him being a starter on this championship contender, on this would-be championship contender, is contingent on him playing elite defense against the best in the West. And, you know, we've seen a lot of inconsistency from him. You know, these are the kind of question marks I have. That kind of it drives me crazy. I'm not sure what Rockets team I'm going to get from night in, night out, you know?
From quarter in, quarter out, too.
Right.
Yeah, it's very, as many people have said to Rockets fans, we are putting the cart ahead of the horse regarding Daniel House a little bit. He's got a ton of potential, but consistent meeting of that potential is what really matters. So I do think he may be the guy at one point, but... Yeah, he's that guy sometimes.
I mean, he certainly looked like the guy at the beginning of the season, right? Like he was making me reevaluate everything I knew about the Rockets because of how well he was playing on both ends of the floor.
In the last season, too, until the playoffs when he didn't do it. I mean, he's relatively young and relatively inexperienced, and he's going to be inconsistent. Perhaps his consistency will improve, but it's still unproven. There are unproven things in this Rockets roster, and I agree they need one more guy. And I think everyone is in agreement that the kind of guy they need is the guy who can shoot some threes, play some perimeter defense, and in my opinion, needs to be able to grab some rebounds too. A real, like, basically exactly replacing what Ariza did for them a few years ago, but not Ariza because he's terrible now.
Well, maybe not Ariza, but maybe like a second PJ Tucker kind of guy, like a B-plus defender that can play multiple positions, right? Like, he doesn't necessarily have to be a small forward, but he needs to be able to defend wings occasionally, and he needs to be able to be versatile in the amount of positions he can play. And that's the kind of player I think they need for me to be like, okay, I see it. I see it. Like, and... The problem with the Rockets is they don't have the kind of salary matching power to make those kinds of trades for that those kinds of players. Like not bringing back Iman Shumpert could really come back to bite the Rockets in the right, because that was a player they had bird rights to, and that was free salary that you can throw into trades later on. The problem is it seemed like the Rockets did not want to pay the luxury tax this season, and it could hurt them. It really could. Yeah,
because they were always going to have to pay luxury tax this season, and trying to dodge it, like you said, it, no matter if he was sitting on the bench, if he was just worth like $6 to $10 million for one season, that'd be such a huge boon to them getting someone else, like literally just paying him to hang out on the bench. Yeah. But instead he went to Brooklyn, right? And now he's not in Brooklyn anymore.
Yeah. And like now they,
for what?
And now they're going to have to play this complicated game of combining salaries to get to a measly like $6 to $10 million a year type player, right? Like they're not going to be able to get the elite kind of players at the trade deadline. Like, you know, the top tier kind of players. They're going to have to scrounge for guys like Markieff Morris or Jay Crowder. Like, they're not going to be able to get someone like Marcus Morris, who I think would fit perfectly on this roster. They can't get him. They don't have the means to be able to acquire that kind of a player. And, you know, maybe a player like Jay Crowder is all they need. I don't know. Like, we need to see. I agree that perhaps we need to see more of this team when it's fully complete, and that includes with Eric Gordon and whatever player they may or may not acquire at the trade deadline. But as it currently stands, the picture to me, at least, is pretty clear that they're a tier two contender, and a tier two contender is not a bona fide contender. A bona fide contender does not need as many things as the Rockets need presently to go their way to win a championship.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and these things can, of course, change, but what are the chances that they all go in the Rockets' favor, right? Like you were saying, let's say they do get their guy. Let's say they get, like, they figure out how to get Robert Covington, let's say, without giving up literally every other halfway okay player on the roster somehow. Like, you know, let's say they keep their top seven guys and Robert Covington. Well, that's assuming that, like, the other teams don't do anything. In that scenario, there's a very good chance that, let's say, Andre Iguodala has been bought out and found his way to the Lakers, because that appears to be primarily what he wants to do. Or he gets traded to, like, the Clippers or something, or the Bucks, right? There are a number of these guys out there, and some of them are going to go places. You know, there will be some trades this trade deadline. There might, you know, they're not going to be zero, but it looks like it will be a slow trade deadline. But some of them will happen, and they will strengthen these other teams too. So we need the Rockets not only, like, for them to be contenders, they not only have to improve themselves somewhat, but whether it's through injury resolution and or by trading or acquiring some guys, but also they need other teams not to pull out too far ahead as well. It's a big ask. Like, it's not off the table, but as it stands right this minute, you need to see it to believe it.
Yeah, and we're saying this a day before they play the Los Angeles Clippers on the 19th. That's going to be, to me, a small proving ground for the Rockets in that if they win that game, like, I'm not going to buy into them as a contender, but I'm definitely going to be more apt to believe that they may be going forward, right? Like that, like, I'm not going to say, like, oh, winner, like, if they win this game, they're a contender again. Like, no, but if they win that game, I'm going to be intrigued. You know, I'll be like, if they're in the game, like, if they're in the game all the way to the final whistle, like, I may leave that possibility open for myself when I'm writing columns about them later in the season. But again, as it stands, it's they have a lot to prove. They have a lot to prove to not only us but to themselves. Like are they actually going to give a shit for four quarters defensively this season? You know,
and there's also, like, all right, in interest of total fairness, there's a lot of stuff that's hard to tease apart right now. Like, for the last couple of weeks, they've had some kind of a very miserable flu going through the locker room. And everyone has this sometimes. You know, this is just the reality of life in the NBA, that diseases get traveled around the locker rooms and mess every team up every once in a while. But
I'm surprised I'm not sick, honestly. Like, yeah. Like, everybody that touched the Rockets in the past couple of weeks got sick.
Yeah, by all accounts, it's truly brutal. I mean, what, like, Jonathan Fagan was in the hospital, right?
Yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal. It got to the point where, like, I was questioning whether or not to go into the locker rooms after games. I was just like, you know what? Like, I got the stuff I need for the column. I'm good. Like, I don't need to go in there. But yeah, you're right. Like, it got pretty dark, and a lot of players went down.
Right, so it's hard to, and even the guys who didn't go down, or probably, like, we know that a lot of players have been struggling with this, and it'll linger and stuff. So if they have an uptick pretty soon, if they look like their effort's better all of a sudden, there's a really good chance that part of the reason why their effort's so bad right now is because their bodies just are, you know, kind of betraying them for that moment. But also maybe not. You know, these things are hard to judge. These aren't excuses, you know, but this is the reality, is that sometimes these things happen. Like, why'd the Rockets suddenly get bad and look like they're weak all the time? Well, maybe it's because they've been sick. Maybe it's part of it. Maybe it's none of it. But we will have to, like all things, you can only really judge it in the rearview mirror.
Okay. So under the assumption that we both believe that they're not a title contender, what can they do for you to buy into them as a title contender? I've already said that if they win a couple more games and show that they can give effort defensively, and if they, you know, if they acquire the right kind of B-plus defender, I will buy in. What to you will be enough for you to buy in?
All right. Well, Eric Gordon needs to look good when he gets back. Like, he needs to look like a couple years ago, right? He needs to look like excellent Eric Gordon, and cannot hit anything and cannot walk Eric Gordon like he looked like at the start of the season. They need to pick up someone who can shore up their defense and basically be a substitute PJ Tucker whenever PJ Tucker gets this much needed rest. And honestly, they just need to start kicking some like, that's the main thing. They've done so much of letting teams hang around and being back and forth in games. Like, of course they're going to win and lose because they never really pull ahead. They need to just go on a string of victories. They need to have some blowouts. I don't even really care against who. I mean, like, them beating good teams is excellent and, like, will show they have that gear. So, and have to show they have that gear, but just beating bad teams, even just blowing someone, anyone out, goes a long way to showing that they're, you know, a tier above.
Yeah, the Spurs game could have went in a really ugly direction, and I mean ugly, ugly direction, had things not turned around for the Rockets at halftime, or even that Cavs game where the Cavs went on a 24 or 22-0 run.
24-0 run. Ugh.
Had the Rockets not turned around and won that game, like it's the kind of game that, you know, I don't think they'll fire Mike D'Antoni. Like, I don't think, and I don't think it's deserved. I don't think there's any condition this season at this point that I would believe it would be justifiable to fire Mike D'Antoni. But that's the kind of game where you see it, right? Like, that Spurs game, I can only speak for myself and the other media there. We were all looking over at Tillman Fertitta the entire game. And we were all body language doctors that entire game. Like that's how dark it's been for them in some of their lulls, right? Like, that's how kind of meh they've been to the point where you kind of look over and, like, you don't want it to go in a certain direction, but you could see it go in a certain direction.
And boy, the online people's calling for Mike D'Antoni's
head. It's strong right now. It is. That contingent is is roaring loud after every possession. Mike D'Antoni is the reason. He's the reason that Russell Westbrook can't seem to play any sort of off-ball defense. He is the reason that that Ben McLemore misses 2 3-pointers in a row, right? Like, he is the reason for all that is wrong on Rockets internet right now.
If they win 6 in a row, that'll go away again. That's how it always goes. The coach is just the first guy out, and which is not to say that I agree with every decision that Mike D'Antoni makes. Far from it. He definitely has his warts like any coach, but, you know, this team is attempting to contend, and contenders do not lose their coach in the middle of it. It doesn't help to lose your coach in the middle of the season, with the one exception, and we all know about David Blatt. If you want to have a discussion about David Blatt, fine, come at me, but I don't think it's a good idea. There's no one better out there.
Yeah, we've seen, like, okay, like, again, even that David Blatt example, like, does anybody know that the Cavs actually won more percentage, a higher percentage of their games before they fired David Blatt than after they fired David Blatt?
That's the flukiest NBA season ever, too. That championship was so weird and one-off that I feel like you can't compare it to anything else.
It was just much more convenient to point to that and say, see, like, this was always the right move. Like, this, like, and even at the time, it was so questionable, right? Like the amount of scrutiny the Cavs got is just forgotten. It's just forgotten. Like, everybody thought it was a bad move at the time because the Cavs were doing so well. And things might not have been okay in that locker room, but the Cavs were rolling around. They're rolling on like a machine. Go ahead.
Well, let me ask them. Has D'Antoni lost a locker room? Is the real question in that case. Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people seem to think D'Antoni's lost a locker room and are, like, supposing it may have happened, but all the people who are actually in the locker room aren't saying anything about that. So I don't see any reason to believe it's the case.
Yeah. How the hell did we get to this conversation, by the way? Are the Rockets a contender? I guess the best place to end on this is, as of right now, we both think they aren't. I guess we'll leave the window for them to prove us wrong.
No, they're not, but they could be. Also, yes, they are, if certain things happen.
Well, there's no better spot to end the podcast than there. Forrest, what can we follow you on Twitter?
Oh, you should go to @dunots, @dunots. Give me a drop me a line, folks.
You can follow me on Twitter @SalmonAliNBA. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Give us 5 stars on iTunes if you enjoyed the show. That really helps people find us. And yeah, guys, good night.